Well, good morning again. Good morning. I've been here for a little while. Well, I've been here, but not in your service. I come here at least every other month. This is going to ring in about 27 minutes, just to remind me that I'm supposed to stop. You know me, if I don't do that. Well, do you give me permission to tell the church at Lancaster Conference that you have a room here with the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
I want to share with you something that is related to the theme that you have had for November about all the testimonies that Junior and Lucia and others have been sharing, how to reach out to others. The Lord always throws these curveballs to me. I offer something to the leaders that I wanted to do today, and the Lord just make a hybrid out of it into something that morphed into something else. But I think it's something that when I feel that the Lord is leading me in that direction, I think it's very important for you. If not, I wouldn't be doing that. So I'm titling this, Reaching Out to Those Around Us. Obviously, we understand with the love of God and the message of Christ. And the passage that I'm using as a foundation for this is this passage from Colossians 4, 5, and 6. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Talking to the church. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. That means you need to do some thinking here. Hear God in five ways. That's what wise means. You listen to what God is saying, and then you try to put into practical steps the thing that you're hearing from God. So that's what it means. We need to be wise toward those people who are out there. Make the most of every opportunity. Redeeming the time, it says in other versions. Making the most out of every opportunity that is given us. Do you think the Lord gives us opportunities? Yeah. Often?
Yeah.
I think he does. Let your conversation be always full of condemnation. You sinners are going to hell. With grace. Season with salt, giving some flavor to the things that we are going to say, so that you may know how to answer everyone. What it means is our answers need to be such that people go, never thought about it. And many times what we think this needs to be an argument, it's not an argument, is that when we answer, people go pretty much like the king when Paul was talking, King Agrippa, you almost convinced me to become a Christian. That's what it says in there. Oh, I wish that I could do it with everyone. That's what Paul said. So this is what I'm using as a foundation, but you're going to see here, we are going to go hybrid, as I said. It's going to be a strange message, but I know it's going to be a good message. Where should we start? By the way, that's me in a few years. Not yet. Where should we start with this thing? How can we use our time wisely with those outside? So this is Antonio's perspective on this. Well, let's not forget that Jesus' message, the gospel, was supposed to be something special. Was supposed to be. It's like when you receive a letter or whatever it is that you get, and all of a sudden you go, whoa, this is great. The gospel, I don't like that word gospel in English. I don't know where it came from. The original word for that in English from before that word appeared, the word was evangel, or evangel. I don't know how you would pronounce it because I never heard it. I just know that that's the word. It's the same word from where evangelism comes from. And the word comes from two Greek words. One is eu, that means good, and angelion is the second part. Evangelion would be in Greek. Does that sound familiar? Angel, young, angel, kind of thing in there. Angels are messengers. Angelion is a message. So actually what the gospel means is a good message. In other words, good news. Do you remember when Jesus came to read the passage from, in Luke 4, the passage from the scriptures there, and then he just came and opened the scroll and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring, there it is again, to whom? To all mankind. And he describes some needs in there. Broken-hearted, those who are in prison. Those who think that there is no hope for them, announce the new year of the Lord, a year of jubilee, where everything is forgotten, and then you can start all over. Does that sound like good news to you? That's the kind of message that Jesus used to connect. But we have changed it somehow. We have made it more a message of pointing fingers and telling people you're not good, which, if you would put a parenthesis, means, which I am, and we are not. The message of Jesus is not about how good we are. It's how bad we are in the grace of God actually touching us. Right? So it was supposed to be good news. Now I have this statement at the bottom there. Both for the messenger and for the receiver. Do you see something about those two numbers there? One is bigger than the other. Where do you think I made bigger than number one? This is my point. With that, we must experience the gospel as good news first, ourselves, if we want to effectively share the message with others. Does that make sense? It needs to be real to each and every one of us. So, I'm going to tell you a personal story. I used to be a pastor here in Allentown. But the Lord told me, I want you to resign from the church. I would like for you, I didn't call you only to be here, but I called you for a particular thing that I have for you to do, which I have been doing for the last 18 years, by the way. But for 3 years, I was not doing that. The Lord told me, I want you to go work secularly. There are things that you need to learn. But in the process that the Lord sent me there, I'm just telling you this to give you some, it's not actually what I'm going to be talking about here. So one of the things was, what do I do secular? I'm a civil engineer, but I don't have permission to work here. You need to have a license for doing that. I came from Honduras. I cannot do that. And by the time I get my license, I'm starving, right? So I couldn't work as an engineer, so I started looking to do whatever I could do. And one thing that I noticed is that they were offering this salesman position. You know, we all try to do something like that. But in that salesman position, they wanted me to sell this. Actually, I just went through the interview, and they nodded, you're not a salesman, my boy. It was not going to work, and they knew. So I put those vacuum cleaners there, not because they relate to me, because I want to tell you another story here. A friend of mine, a young fellow, was doing the same thing, looking for a job and everything. So he came to my door, my wife, here in Lancaster, and he said if we could be a test for what he was going to be doing. And what he was selling was this expensive vacuum cleaner. Not the one with the eyes, but the other. He was selling this expensive, so he wanted to give us a demonstration of that. And he came, and it was pretty obvious to me he didn't believe in the... what happened. It was actually a sacrifice for him to do that. It was very painful. It would have been as painful to me the same way. He didn't believe in the product. It was obvious. Obviously, I didn't tell him that. It would have been pretty offensive, but that was very obvious to me. Do you see? The message of the vacuum cleaners didn't mean much to him. It was a sacrifice. So we are kind of bring, in my case, if it would have been me, I did not believe in the products I was supposed to sell. That is the reason why I told you the first story. I didn't believe in those products. So, good news. What in the world is this thing? Jesus proclaimed an amazing life to us. A life more abundant than anything that the world can offer to us. That's the message of Jesus. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full, it says in some version. More abundantly, says in another one. Can you imagine? Abundantly would be enough for me. This is more abundantly. Jesus came to give us a life that is more abundant than anything the world could offer. Have you ever wondered these things? By the way, I'm talking to you just in case. I think the Lord gave me this just in case you're not there. How much do you believe in the message that Jesus gave? How much have you experienced that message yourself? That's the key here. Why is the message called the good news? I talk about that. How about this one?
Why does love, mercy, and grace are repeated
over and over and over and over in the New Testament? Why is that important that grace, love, mercy be at the center of everything that we do? Can we love if we haven't been loved before? Very hard. You have to experience love in a certain way in order to do that. Grace, you don't deserve anything. And he gives you more than what you deserve. Mercy, you should be killed, and you're not killed. It's quite an amazing thing. And this is not an intellectual thing that I read in the scripture. Oh, I read it, now I understand it. It's not about understanding. Why is love, mercy, and grace so important to God? Because that's what he came to pour on us. It's good news, all this. Why is Jesus called a treasure? The way he's put it, the kingdom of God is a man that found a treasure and he put it under the ground again and he came out and sold. He thought it was so good that it was worth selling everything he had. He sold it and then he came and bought the field where this treasure was. This treasure has been wonderful. You with me? Is this a reality in our own lives? The messenger is the one who is supposed to experience first of these things. If we want to be effective, reaching out to others. So, let's be honest. Life happens for us between those two lines. I'm calling the red one up there a threshold. Okay? Life happens there, and wonderful things happen in our life. I'm not saying that they're not. But at one point, we realize that God is interested in us doing something, and that's reaching out to other people with the message of Jesus. And then this threshold becomes very important because it's beyond what we normally do. It makes us uncomfortable. We don't know how to do that. How are we going to go through this? And in that process, this Antonio without hair ask again, what is up there that we need? And the first thing that came to mind was this, commitment and sacrifice. We as Christians need to be willing to sacrifice ourselves and actually go do it. And you see what I mean? I'm going to pour myself. I'm going to go to my neighbor's door, and I'm going to, even if I'm sweating butterflies in my stomach, I'm going to knock the door and, hello, I would like to share with you something. And when we live, it just feels like a sacrifice. You with me? So, this is the way many Christians practice church life. There's a lot of things that I mix because they were going on through my mind. We come to church and we hear a message like the one that you're hearing right now every Sunday, and then we have some songs, we sing songs. That's what we do. We may do it for real. We heard that truth. We may not do it for real. We may just fulfilling the duty of going to church because I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to do that. I don't think that that's what God died for. That we can come to church and hear a message and sing some songs and go home. So that, to me, is pretty much like the sacrifice kind of thing. And I understand because scripture says that, present a sacrifice of praise to the Lord. I understand that in the midst of everything we are going, we come and we give that. We actually give him that. That's a different kind of sacrifice. I'm offering my gift to you, Lord, as a sacrifice, and here I am rejoicing. The other was more like that kind of sacrifice. Let's say that that's not the place to start. Commitment and sacrifice is not the place to start. How about this one? To jump the threshold, as I said. To actually care for people out there because I'm inspired by something? How about this one? Love, grace, and mercy of God being poured into my life. I give opportunity to God and say, God, here I am, a needy person. Lord, you know me. Lord, you know how I live. Lord, you know where I am. Can you do something for me? And Jesus said, no. I died for that one, but not for you. Can you imagine Jesus saying that? Jesus is looking forward to that. Just like the father of the prodigal son was just waiting for him from far. When he saw him coming, he just ran there to kiss him and bring him home again and celebrate. Can you imagine how that son felt? This is what love brings. Mercy, once we allow them to be poured into our hearts, we don't need to protect ourselves before anybody. least God, because we are going to be heard by him. He wants to pour this good news into our hearts. As a result of experiencing this, actually what we have is joy and excitement comes into our life. As a result of joy and excitement, actually, I put it at the top, contagious enthusiasm that you can hardly wait. I have to tell my friends. You see the difference with the other one? I have to tell my friends because I have it. I have the reality of God. And then we can add the commitment and desire. But it doesn't come like the starting point is I'm going to force myself. It is that I'm highly committed and I'm willing to sacrifice myself because of what I have. Thank you, Lord, kind of thing. There is a big piece that I added last night. I didn't have it on my page, but I thought it was needed. Who that is? Because we can have all that and go outside and be disappointed because we are doing it on our own strength. Remember what Jesus told the apostles? Do not leave Jerusalem in the book of Acts until what? Until the Holy Spirit has come from heaven. And then you're going to be my witnesses because you're going to receive what from above?
Power.
Got it. Power from above. Acts 1:8. Just imagine this. Imagine having this equipment before you go and try to reach out to people. You have the real thing? You love it.
You want to give it to
others? And then you come to God and say, let's partner with this. Can you fill me with your Holy Spirit? And then the two of you just go out and God will start moving. Isn't that great? That's the number one, big number one that I had before. That's why it's so important that before we share, we make sure that we have this. Each and every one of us can experience it. You don't need to be special to receive it. This is the grace of God. Unmerited. It's for everybody that would like to have it. So, there I am. Now I'm going to play it in a different way.
Good, that's a sacrifice.
Because I didn't believe in the product. Now, this is the other side of the story. I'm a musician. And I remember when the good keyboards, not the original one, sound like a toy. When the real keyboards start coming to the market, the pianos sound like pianos, strings like strings. I remember looking at that, I bought one. And every musician friend that I had, I just went and blah, 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 blah. What do you think they said at the end of my talk? You should be selling this stuff. Same thing happened when the iPad came to the market. Some people tell me, Antonio, it seems that iPad is part of you. It is. I carry it wherever I go. This thing is so amazing. This thing, I carry 5 Bibles on this thing, Greek, Spanish, English, many versions in English, commentaries. I carry here my calendar. I carry here my mail. So it's an amazing invention. So when it came out, blah, 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 to all my friends, you should be selling this stuff. It happened to be that actually I was a salesman. But I'm a salesman of things that I believe in and know and experience. That one was a sacrifice. This is a joy. You with me? This is the first part of the message that I wanted to share with you. This is what life should be with us. I have an extra thing here. Because once I thought about that, I thought I better tell you the way I see it, the way it should be. So there we are, singing songs and going to church, and that may be the whole thing it is, and waiting till I die to go to heaven. But what about if that's not the real thing? What about if it's actually like this? It all starts with God's love. It starts with God's love being poured into our life.
That's us,
our hearts. And God becomes so real to us with a smile and loving us and wanting to have a relationship with us. By the way, I have to say this because I'm obsessive compulsive and I know this can happen. I'm not proposing with this use an image of Christ. I'm not talking about icons here. I had that picture because I think it expresses what I'm trying to say. God and us meet. And as a result of that, thanksgiving start flowing into our hearts. That's the main thing that we have. Oh, you're so wonderful, all you have given me. And as a result of that, also joy without measure being in our lives. And then as a result of that, we walk in obedience. All we want to do is what God wants. That includes the evangelism part. But it also includes serving others. It also includes helping others. Yeah, why not put it there also? There includes going to church and there and having the sermon and the song and worshiping God. But can you see, that's a very small part of the picture. Imagine having a life like that every moment of your life. You can have this kind of life. That's the whole point here. Experience it first. I think I need to close this one. So where should we start? Make sure you understand the gospel is intended to be good news. Second,
do whatever it takes to make this a
reality in your life.
Third,
do not move without the feeling of the Holy Spirit in your life, because once you do, with the Holy Spirit, it's going to be an amazing experience for you. And you're going to see people responding to the message. God and you partnering based on reality. So, where do we go from here now? Well, we're going to start talking. Here we are in our little world in church and mine. We're going to start stepping outside and see what happens out there. Now we're going to talk a little about that. The next step is relationships. Make a note of that. Big letters in there. The next step is relationships. We get to know people, and people get to know us. It's reciprocal. It goes both ways. We get to know people. People get to know us. We have the tendency to think that reaching out to people out there is just talking. I had an experience that was very... I felt really bad about the experience, thinking what the future of this young man was going to be. I was in Kenya. By the way, there was this picture when I'm preaching, the story that I'm going to tell. I'm in the streets of Kenya preaching to a group of people, and they happened to publish it at EMM. I don't know where they got the picture from. And I was there with this Kenyan brother that was taking me places because I didn't know the city. And then we stopped, and this group of people were willing to listen, and then I started preaching to them. And as we were preaching, I noticed one man that was a young man, really negative. And... I knew something is going on here. And then he made a comment that triggered some questions in my mind. So I told the brother from Kenya, can I stay here? I need to talk with that man. And he told me, no, you cannot do that. Why? Because we're preaching. We just need to move to the other place and preach. You with me? It was about words. We are going to talk to people about Jesus, and that's evangelism. Really? Is that the way Jesus did it? Lord, where do you live? Come with me. I'm going to show you where I live. And I took the disciple with him. He selected 12 to be with him first and then sent them to preach. You with me? For Jesus, relationships were highly important. But we believe that the words are enough. No, they are not. By the way, just to close that story, I was with this young man. He was really upset with God. He was upset with God. Something that had happened to him in his life. Just imagine, at that time they were doing this thing that they do the lottery for allowing you to come to the United States and they give you a visa. He was in the line. He had already been selected to do that. And when they were in the line to get their papers, two people before he arrived there, they say, this is it. That's all we had. And he couldn't come. And he got upset with God for that. Why did you stop the line? So we had an opportunity of talking and talking and talking, and I saw the change that the man at the end was. He understood that you cannot blame God for things like that. But I was also giving him some hope. Why did God leave you here? He told me that he had been a Christian before. Why do you think God left you here? Probably he has something for you that he wants you to do here. This is not, don't think a situation like that is going to, you with me?
Yeah.
Words are not enough. If I wouldn't have stopped and build a relation with John, it was just a few moments there. I spent about 2 hours with him. But the relationship were important. The other. So, we must try hard to avoid impersonal evangelism patterns. People are people, not projects. They're people. It is a must for us to realize that reaching people for Christ is more than work. Healthy relationships with people must be developed as well. Most of the time, we will need to cultivate a relationship before we sow the seed. You see what it says in there? What's the first word that you see, read there? That doesn't mean that all the time, there are not going to be opportunities that you directly are going to share. But most of the time, you need to build a relationship with people, especially if they have no idea of God. The only God relation that they're going to have is looking at you. And they're going to say, what is it that this person has something that I don't. That's the only connection they can make. That's where relationships become very important. As we develop a relationship with people, doors will eventually be open for us to talk about issues of faith and about Christ. Sometimes relationships develop fast, sometimes they don't. And we need to take that risk because they're not projects, they're people. You're the only Christian probably that they know. So, this is how the gospel travels. Yeah, we talk about relationship. I'm going to give you something. My intention here is a practical thing that you can do in your life. Now we are moving to the practical thing. This is my brother Jose. My brother Jose was 15 years old when he met Christ. 15. Experienced all those things that I was talking about. Fire for Jesus. And I remember first time, we live in different cities, and I remember the first time that he came to him, and he just approached me, and he couldn't stop talking about God. And I was thinking, what happened to this kid? He probably was doing drugs. What else could I think? But the more he started talking, all of a sudden, he took this black book and read one verse to me. John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Antonio, what happened to me is that I experienced Christ 6 months ago, and the transformation in my life was a relationship with this kid. I already know him. He's my brother. And I'm seeing a completely different kind of brother. Something happened to him. I know him. So what happened? Tony became a believer because of his brother, Jose. 5 more minutes. Or so. Me, Antonio. Became a believer. Well, Antonio's so excited with the thing of Christ that I share with my sister Juanita, that lived with me. My sister Juanita received Jesus. My sister Juanita was so excited when she received Jesus that she had to go and tell our neighbor Hilda. You notice that the color changed there? It's a different kind of relationship. In that relationship, how do we know her? We grew up together. Hilda lives half a block from our house. By the way, just for you to know, Hilda and my brother Jose are married today. Okay? And my sister Juanita, this is one side of the street, and right beside our house is our neighbor Reina. Another friend. Different color again. Another family. Another kind of relationship. These two girls were going to Catholic school with her. It's not only they were neighbors, they saw each day at school also. Probably the conversion didn't even happen in the house, in the neighborhood. It happened because they were neighbors and friends. They start talking about it, and then that happened. This is my point here. That's family. It's one kind of relationship that we have. The big brother converted by the little brother. You see the dot in there. Well, I went talking to my sister Juanita. The older brother talking to the younger sister. Again, family. But here, our neighbor Hilda is, and they are friends. By the way, you cannot see the picture, but they look like Cinderella's sisters. That doesn't mean that my sister or Hilda look like that, okay? You cannot see them well. And then the same thing with Reina. You see what we are seeing here? Family members, we have the relationship already. They are neighbors and friends, and people are coming to Christ. That's the normal way which things should happen, rather than going to strangers and out of the blue asking them, do you want to receive Jesus? Or asking giver, I shared this before with you, I know that. If you would die today, where would you go? And you do that in the door of a person that doesn't know you, have never seen you before, and you're asking an intimate question like that. They don't say anything except, no, thank you. But actually, what they're thinking is, who is this weirdo? What else can they think? Strangers, total strangers. So let me play it again because I want to continue with it. Now, there is Antonio. And I want to share this because this story you already know. I thought this, I think it was the first time that I was here, about my boss that became a believer with me. There it is. René Lorenzana, my boss, is there. And I start working with him. It took a while. It took about 3 years of having relationship with him. Eventually, he met Christ. Okay, what the result do you think happened with her? His wife Imelda was not many months after that. I didn't bring her Imelda to Christ. He did. And Imelda started reaching to their neighbor. And also their son Emmanuel, who is a wonderful young man today. He's a doctor. Loves Christ with all his heart. It's such an effect that this family had upon this little boy. By the way, their son was an alcoholic, if you remember, first time that I told you. This is transformation of life. This kid, the day that I talked with him, I just called on the phone because René Lorenzana had died. So I just called to see if they needed anything. This kid didn't know who I was. And I just called and I said, who are you? Oh, my name is Emmanuel. I'm René Lorenzana's son. And just by the voice, I could hear God in the heart of this kid. It's hard to explain. We were kindred spirit without knowing each other in Christ. Isn't that amazing? And when I told him, yes, I'm calling because your dad died and I was a good friend of your dad. I live in the United States. Antonio Ulloa, he told me. How do you know? My dad talks about you all the time. You see what I mean? This is relationship. So we go again with this. My boss Rene is a co-worker now. Not family nor neighbor. I saw him 8 hours a day. I could have a schoolmate in there. Do you see what we're talking about relationships here? All these people are around us and we connect with them every day. So he brought his wife Imelda. Imelda brought a friend and also brought his other members of her family to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Relationship, how important they are. What is the key in all of this? Well, I've been saying again, but I thought it was nice to put this. Relationship is the key for all these things. So I have a homework assignment for you. And probably this is the part that connects more with what we discuss in our team. This is your home. I wanted to prepare a page for you on this, and I forgot. And I had offered that I was going to bring, so you carry that with you all the time. But you can do that in any piece of paper, put it inside your Bible in a place where you can see it all the time, put it on your refrigerator, whatever you're going to be looking at it. And this is your assignment. Make a list of 5 people in your circle of relationships. I can start. My neighbor Lloyd and Cindy, right in front of my house. Who else I can think that is not is an unbeliever? That man on the other side that doesn't like me. Could be another one. Probably would go to last on my list. And the reason is logical. Why would I go first to someone that doesn't want to be with me if I can be with someone that actually likes me? Make sense? So you have people, classmates, co-workers, neighbors with whom you probably have already some sort of relationship, but you never think that, what about if I would invite him for lunch next Tuesday? And we go out, we are at the office, and we just go and eat somewhere, and I invite him for lunch. And then we have an opportunity of building the relationship farther than what it actually is right now. So that's the first thing. Make a list of 5 people in your circle of relationships. Pray asking God to lead you, seeking to find with which of these people you should build a deeper relationship. Doesn't have to be with all of them. That's why I have 5 in there. Pray and let God guide you. Say, this one, or these 2. Once you have that, you do that in the spirit of prayer. Let God lead you. The Holy Spirit is going to be in it. That's going to encourage you to do this because, you know, God is the one who is asking me to do this. I can do this thing. And thirdly, as you relate, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. What I mean by that is, wait for the right moment to talk about Jesus. The fact that you start a relationship doesn't mean I'm gonna invite him for lunch so that I can punish him with the gospel. I'm just gonna bombard him with gospel. In Scripture, there is a passage that says, "Did you find honey?" I wish I knew what it is. I think it's in Proverbs. Did you find honey? Eat just enough, lest you end up hating it. Makes sense, doesn't it? It's like, oh, I ate too much chocolate and now I hate it. The second part of that verse says, keep your feet from your neighbor's house, lest he end up hating you. The same thing. Why would I go to my neighbor just hitting him with the gospel and hitting him until he hates the gospel and me? Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit waiting for that right moment. Meanwhile, love them with all your heart, just as God loved you, because you experienced first that. I don't want to leave it there. If you haven't experienced that, be honest with yourself. It's time for you to spend time with God and tell him, I'm missing something here. Because he's going to give it to you. I assure you that. God is going to give it to you. How many of you have phones with cameras? Take a picture of that, please. I'm not going to take it from there until you take your picture. That's the equivalent of the paper that I told you. Unless you wrote it down, obviously, you don't have to do that. But if you have a camera, there it is. Amen? Make a list of 5 people in your circle of relations. They are already there. Pray, asking God to lead you, seeking to find which of these people you should start building a deeper relationship. And as you relate with them, let the Holy Spirit lead you and the adventure starts. Amen? So we are going to stop here. I have some discussion time, but we're not going to do that. You know why? Yeah.
It will be on our website this week.
Oh, great. But I'm going to put it because somebody wanted it. Isn't that great that they have this odor protector? So I'm going to advertise them here. This thing fell one time in the concrete, almost worse than what I did that, because I tried to stop it and it went flying in the air and went like that. All I got was a little piece in here. My phone is in perfect shape. Buy one! God bless you, brothers and sisters.
Hey, Tony,
yes?
We can have a discussion.
Sorry. Sure, okay.
Let's feed that time.
Okay.
Please. Does anybody have anything to say? Anybody have anything to share? How did this speak to you? Go ahead.
Sincere.
But through this message, I really feel like, you know, I didn't pursue it, and I kept saying to myself, did I do something wrong? Did I miss my opportunity? And through this, I see that now I can just keep praying for her, and it's not in my timetable, it's in God's.
Amen.
So I can keep praying for her and reaching her in what we have in common and let God do this.
Amen. My best friend became a believer 10 years after the first time I shared with him. 10 years. But he became a believer eventually. I didn't push him. I only talked to him when the Holy Spirit gave me the opportunity and told me, now, I just put another seed in it. Amen. We need to be open to those too.
Yes,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, the fact that I said that doesn't mean these things don't happen.
Right.
Yeah.
But we need to.
Wonderful.
Sometimes I feel when we say relationship is the most important thing, we kind of push to the side the other opportunities.
Amen.
We have.
Amen.
Opportunities every day to affect people's lives, how we relate to them, how we talk to them.
Amen. I'm adding that to my teaching here. You bring in the balance to the thing. That's what happened to the Ethiopian eunuch. Lord led
Philip to the road, and he's
there waiting. And then this man is coming reading Isaiah 53. They never seen each other, but he's ready. So when he goes there, and they say, do you know what you're reading? How can I know if nobody explains that to me? To you. Gets in the car, and in the chariot, and then he shares Jesus with him. And then he said, is there anything that keeps me from being baptized? He's already there. He was prepared. And he said, if you believe, you can. Okay. Found a river there, and they baptized, and they never saw each other again.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Yes, Lord.
I'm struggling with something. thing that I've kept inside, so I'm sharing it openly. I'm starting to meet a lot of people at the college where I work, and I want to invite people to church, a lot of young people, and I'm afraid to. Maybe they look odd, maybe they're not living a life that looks like it's supposed to be in the church, and I'm afraid. I think we need to commit together that it doesn't matter who we have, that we will all embrace them. Help me with that.
Don't bring them to church.
Okay.
Bring them to other environments that are less threatened.
Imagine
you going to, one of the reasons why you feel that way, because you know they have no relation with church.
Right.
So imagine that you're invited to a church,
a Buddhist church.
You go to the Buddhist church, the first thing that you do when you enter is this smell of incense all over the place. You see all these people dressed weird, and then you see all these big altars with all these all sorts of gods in there. What would you say? Weird. How do you think people feel if they would come to an environment like this and they are hearing probably not as weird things as we think, but what they are hearing is we are singing songs that don't sound like the songs many times that they sing outside. The words they don't quite get. I will raise my Ebenezer. What is that? You see what I mean? Is it? It's only Christians understand that concept. EMM is having this, and LMC is. That's what they hear, and they say, weird. How about creating environments where they actually feel like regular people, where they can talk about whatever they would like to talk? Starting a small group for people that are not believers, or an alpha course, something like that. You did alpha at one time, right? No. Yeah, your bishop used to do that, bishop that you heard before. Does that help?
It does.
Bring them first to an environment where they can experience all this stuff, and then by the time they come to church, I would like to see what they do in church, rather than take into an environment that is artificial in many ways. Let's be honest with that. It's artificial in many ways. Good. These are great comments and questions.
I think this just kind of puts feet on the thing we've been talking about for the last 6 weeks, that when we discover God's love for ourselves, then we can love whoever put into our lives. But the thing I've been working on hard and that I've been learning is the hardest part for me is learning to listen to whoever's been put in my
wonderful.
My circle to love. And if I can't make the effort of sacrifice, to use your word, to listen, it's not going to work.
All these three things are going into my teaching if I give it somewhere else. It's not better for here, but if I can use it somewhere else, I'm going to add this. Make sure that the environment where you bring them is safe. Don't forget that
God can do anything.
The fact that we mentioned relations
doesn't mean
that God cannot
talk to a person.
And Mary says, how much do we listen if we actually want to know them? How can you share a minimal message if you don't know what they're thinking? Yes.
It really is not about me anyway. You know, it's not.
Amen to that.
I led this person. I did this. I did that. The Holy Spirit, we don't have the franchise on the Holy Spirit.
Amen to that.
And he is operating all of the time. So, you talk about having that right moment, but it is the Holy Spirit's preparation.
Amen.
Before I get to speak. And I think Mary is so right, too, I talk.
Can you imagine me?
I would try to overwhelm you. That when I get done talking, you say, oh, yes. It doesn't work that way.
That's great. It's wonderful.
I heard something that I think this will fit in. Recently, when you told the story about the partial this lady I heard say, we try to
we try to clean the fish before we catch the fish. It's wonderful.
I'm just thinking, in light of what Dan's saying as well, I think it takes the pressure off because it's not me, it's
sometimes it's worse, sometimes it's not. And the better thing is a hybrid of both. Probably
this is a good time
because I know you shared this. What is the best definition of reaching out or evangelism?
Bringing
one person one step closer to Jesus. Imagine that that's what we are doing. Mm-hmm. Each one of us partnering with the Holy Spirit and other people, because that's the whole point, it's not about us. We are just
putting our kids in there,
giving them to people out there, and eventually these people are going to come right beside Jesus and say, I'm ready. Mm-hmm. That's the best definition that I have heard of that. Can you imagine what it did to the son? He didn't. Do you remember how he had planned to finish that conversation with his son? What he planned: Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am not worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your servants. That's the least that he could ask. I'm repenting. And when the father, I have sinned against heaven and earth, and heaven and you, and the father doesn't let him bring everything. My son is back. He didn't let him get the humiliation part. Amen. Yep. That's what he did. Rather than cleaning him, just I'm waiting for you. Well, Bill, this is wonderful.
Yes.
Yep. By the way, I want to tell you something. Do you remember that it did go bing as I was preaching here? It was Sherry Over that was here not long ago. And what she's saying, may the Lord bless you at Agape this morning. That's how the text said. Somebody else. This is wonderful.